you know, gained momentum. Accuracy Media at the head with Reed Irvine at the helm just attacked me soundly and wrote a story called The Clinton North Drug Fantasy.
Right. Well, of course, somebody has to lead the conservatives, just as there are people out there leading the liberals. We have people working within both conservative and liberal camps to mislead them. And, of course, Accuracy Media would never touch anything that I have put out. I wonder why. So don't feel bad. You know, you're not just the only one that they have done everything they could to undermine.
Yeah, well, I mean, if they just ignore me, that'd be one thing. But they said ignore this book and printed a story that had about 17 errors within 13 paragraphs,
sure,
and call that accuracy.
Well, I know that. But you see, the thing is that they attack the communists, they attack the Democrats, they attack the liberal part of the establishment, and mm-hmm. so they say, well, they must be responsible conservatives. And so they have taken on a position of leadership within the conservative movement, and it's not simply Accuracy in Media. There are a number of organizations which are funded by the same people who fund the liberals and fund the radical left. So both sides of the political spectrum are funded by the same people. And if you have any question about that in the listening audience, get hold of the book written by Bill Clinton's mentor, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in High Time, by Professor Carol Quigley. And the reason they destroyed the plates of the book, the publisher did, is because Professor Quigley said they financed the communists, they financed the socialists, they financed the conservatives, they financed the anti-communists. It's all part of the game. Let's go to Tom here. Hi, Tom. I have a question or comment.
Question. As you're probably aware, the Christic Institute tried to bring a lawsuit and go that route and bring very much the same information out, and of course they got nowhere. And I was wondering how your suit is going to be different and hopefully meet with more success.
Well, first of all, I don't have Danny Sheehan as my lawyer, and that's a big plus. Secondly is the fact that we filed what we call a reverse Christic case. You know, the Christics made a major boo-boo. They filed a conspiracy case that was broad-based, and they couldn't prove it. And they fell very short, and Judge King, you know, filed sanctions against Danny Sheehan for, I think it was, $1.2 million. And I think Danny's right there in Santa Barbara. Maybe you know where he is. But be that as it may, we filed what we call a reverse Christic case. We made a very narrow case packaged around constitutional rights violations that we are sure we can prove. And then the rest of the overt acts contained within the conspiracy are things that we get to put on in trial as a way to define motive on behalf of the participants of the core case, which is very small. So our case is designed to fan out in court or through discovery to prove why my wife and I became such extreme liabilities to these people. And so with that done that way, our chances of being successful are far greater than the Christic lawsuit was.
The Christics really went into this. Christic, for the people out there who don't know, they're really sort of a radical left organization that brought out some things that were really true. But coming from sort of an irresponsible position, I think they lost a lot of credibility, despite the fact that probably much of what they said was really true.
Absolutely. Yeah, the irony here is they had some good allegations. They just packaged them improperly. That's the feeling of my lawyer, and certainly I've spent a lot of time trying to grow beyond the Christic lawsuit because, Stan, when I was looking for a lawyer, I could not find one simply because of the way the Christic complaint had been handled and the bad taste it had left in a lot of people's mouths as Danny Sheehan personally came under attack and then he filed his appeal. And unanimously, the appellate court upheld the original findings, and then I think he was fined $400,000 for filing a frivolous appeal. That hurts this kind of litigation, because you can imagine a lawyer that may be prone to take on a case that's going to go off and get into this area. The last thing he wants to do is be fined for filing a lawsuit.
And, of course, what they did, what they were basically threatening anybody who wanted to bring out the truth through the legal system.
Yeah.
And what they, I'm sure they intimidated most lawyers. You must have a pretty heroic lawyer. Sometime I hope I get a chance to meet him.
Well, I might add one other point. Also, I think what was also wrong with the Christics philosophically was they would not have dealt with this issue back in that time frame had they known it was going to impact some prominent Democrats.
Right, of course.
This thing went up, turned a big 90 degrees out of Washington and went directly towards Arkansas. I don't think they had the courage to go after their liberal foundation and their future savior, Bill Clinton. That's what puts me in no man's land as I try to tell this story, is or gain momentum with it. I've appealed to the Christics, what's left of them, just last year to try to get them to help me fund this lawsuit, and they won't even return my phone calls.
Well, because they're radical left. That was the foundation of the Christics. Okay, anything else, Tom?
Do you think your lawsuit will influence the coming election, presidential?
Well, I think from the financial point of view, you know, we're getting into money laundering. We have already got that element of the case pretty much sewn up. And as we put that on in trial and prove that hundreds of millions, and I mean hundreds of millions of dollars, black money, we call it, money that has no origin but finds its way into the Arkansas financial community, that's going to have to impact some very prominent people in Arkansas and all the way to Wall Street. As we do that, I don't see how it can help but rub off on Bill Clinton, especially his financial resources, what he's going to be looking for financing the new campaign.
And, of course, some of his biggest backers, that was Tyson and J.P. Stevens, are now backing Robert Dole. It's sort of Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
It's a famous shell game, is what it is, yeah.
Okay, anything else, Tom?
Well, it seems like Bill Clinton's really the Teflon president. I wish you the best of luck in your endeavor there.
Thank you very much.
Okay, but remember, it's not just the Democrat or Republicans. We've got people on both sides of the fence, on both sides of the aisle involved in this, and that's what they don't want the American public to understand, is Socialist Party A, Socialist Party B. That's why we've got to get responsible people into Congress. That's why everybody within the reach of my voice has an obligation to the future of this nation, to their children and grandchildren, to get involved and help us get the information about freedom out there all across our land. Well, our telephone number here, 464-8295 or 1-800-5-TALK-AT-ME. If you'd like to give us a call, you have a question, you have a comment, you say, I can't believe that our government could be involved in drugs because we're fighting a war on drugs. I've seen those advertisements on television that shows your brain on drugs. It's a fried egg frying in the frying pan. And my goodness, aren't we spending all this money on a war on drugs? How do you answer that when people bring that out to you, Terry?
Well, you know what? I tell you, the driving thing behind me and my wife is the fact that, you know, we've lived this story, we've seen it, we know there's no war on drugs at a large scale, and the upsetting thing to both of us is how we're asked to relinquish more and more of our civil liberties on the name of the war on drugs.
And you mean the fact that they're monitoring our bank accounts, we can't take out over $10,000 in cash, they're watching so much of what we're doing, they're expanding government control in the name of a war on drugs, and there really isn't a war on drugs, maybe they just want to control the population?
Right, they need a reason to come to us, because certainly with the violence that I see here in the Midwest, I live in Kansas City area, the violence that we see, obviously you go to the polls, and you want more structure and order to society, and the police say all we need is a few more police officers, all we need is a few more $1 million, and everything will be fine.
And a little bit increased power. And, of course, that old adage, when liberty leads to a loss of order.
The war
for order leads to a loss of liberty, and that's what we're really seeing in America today. It's this the drug problems, and we're willing to give up our freedom to counter it. We're going to have to take one more last break here, and then we'll be right with you. I want to tell you about, I mentioned the book Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. It is the most important book. It was so important that Macmillan, the publisher, actually destroyed the plates of the book. And for those of you who said things like that don't happen in America, well, we have a taped interview with Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's instructor at Georgetown University, where Professor Quigley actually tells about how the plates to his book were destroyed by his publisher. And then they lied to him for some years, telling him that they were going to republish the book as soon as there were enough orders, all the time they destroyed the plates the first half of the book. Why? because the book really tells you about this move away from freedom towards fascism, who was doing it, how at the Council on Foreign Relations and these organizations tie in. If talking about the Council on Foreign makes you a kook, then Professor Carol Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, indeed was a kook. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan here on Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Terry Reed. If you want to get his book, and it's an excellent book, if you want to get his video, which goes into the documentation on drugs at MENA Airport and how all this ties together with that organization, the Central Intelligence Agency, which is simply an extension of America's invisible government, the Council on Foreign Relations, formed by Alan Dulles, of course, John Foster Dulles' brother, both of them leaders of the CFR. You can call 1-800-MENA-850. That's 1-800-MENA, M-E-N-A, 850. And let's go. Who do we have here?
Hello?
Hello. Who do we have?
Hi, praise the Lord. This is Linda.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. And this is Linda from Salinas.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, I wondered if you were familiar with the book that came out maybe a few years back called Fit for Life, because they mentioned the fluoride tests that have been done also, and a lot of other information.
Well, of course, we're a little away from fluoride, I'm really not acquainted with that book, Linda.
It went into, it was about diet, but it went into the government's role from the 20s on.
Pushing fluoride, which is a poison, into the drinking water.
More than the fluoride, the drug companies of the time were able to, like from Europe, the foundations over there, were trying to suppress other types of medicine, other types of health care, except for that which pushed drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And right back into the 20s, in order to sell all the various drugs, and they pulled back all their financing of every college that didn't put the right class of people as to be doctors and that didn't push the drug therapy. You know, they kind of had a choice back then.
Right.
And the government went along with it.
Well, the whole story is really so incredible. But I really don't want to get too far into that today. I want to just sort of stay with our guest. Sometime, if you'd like to give me a call off the air, we could perhaps talk about that. I think all these are subjects which people need to understand.
I missed what the CFR is.
What?
I missed what the CFR is.
The CFR is America's invisible government. It's the Council on Foreign Relations. And it's covered in many of the books that we talk about. And, of course, one of the better books is this Freedom on the Altar. It's rather inexpensive, and you can get it by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and it'll give you an introduction to the organization that controls Socialist Party A, Socialist Party B. Thanks so much for calling, Linda.
Bye-bye.
And who do we have here?
Hello?
Hi, who do we have?
Oh, this is Fast Tempo Dave.
Oh, hi, Fast Tempo Dave. Did you have a question or comment for Terry?
Well, actually, I just wanted to say how frustrating it is to hear all that's going on, and so much is going on. It doesn't seem like we're able to do anything. Once again, one of these situations that needs to be gotten out to the American public to give us some hope, and you know, what would his suggestion be to as things we can do specifically, once again, to bring this stuff to an end.
Okay, fine. The question from Pastor Tiempo Dave, who, incidentally, Terry, is a fellow flyer. He was an airline flyer. I think you were a flyer over in Vietnam?
Yeah, I was.
Okay, well, he was a flyer in Vietnam, too.
Mm-hmm.
So what can we do? What can the average person out there listening to this program and says, you know, these things sound just terrible, but what can I do about it? I feel so helpless.
Well, I mean, beyond what I'm doing, I mean, I've certainly have my own battle in federal court, and I feel like I'm doing my fair share, but I'm asked this, you know, I've been attending a lot of 10th Amendment rallies around the country. We're using those as fundraisers for this lawsuit, and there seems to be one theme, and it's probably the most simple, and that is just make your friends go vote. I mean, make your family, your friends, the people you can influence, force them to go to the polls.
But
we all complain, yet we don't participate.
But do we want to? We have a choice between Robert Dole and Bill Clinton. Do we really have much of a choice?
Well, I know, and I know that frustrates the dickens out of me too. And I think we're still going to see some twists and turns to this campaign. We can't predict at this point.
Well, I agree, too.
And maybe my suit will actually have an impact on that, forcing the Republican or the Democratic Party to actually find a replacement for Bill Clinton. And who knows, maybe they can find someone. But, you know, it's frustrating. But I think until we start going back in history, I just came from a Central American country that takes their right to vote really seriously. They experienced like an 80% turnout for their presidential elections. And until we start getting to that kind of a turnout level, I think we just are looking for problem solving in areas that we don't need to research yet. If we could just somehow convince the average citizen to turn off that crazy television and go down to the polls and vote, especially in presidential and primary elections, we might get the influence, or we might get the attention of the spin doctors to realize that there's a major element they can't control, and that's the mainstream American who's dialed them out.
I agree with you. Let me make a suggestion to the listener out there. If you want to know what to do to become involved, you send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Post Office Box 13 in Santa Cruz, 95063, and we'll send you our 10-point program on what needs to be done. And point one is, first of all, make sure in the right relationship to the Lord, because we're fighting a spiritual battle on a political battlefield. You've heard me say it 1,000 times, and you're going to hear me say it again, because it needs to be said. And then, of course, down the line, we've got to get involved. We've got to get responsible people running for political office, and we've got to put the money and the time and the effort and the sweat and the shoe leather into backing them and getting this message of freedom out. For the listener out there, what can you do? You can tell others to listen to this program. You're going to hear things on Radio Liberty you're never going to hear any other place. You need to tape these programs. You need to circulate the tape programs or join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and we'll send you the four best tapes of the month, and you can copy those and get those out. This message is so vitally important. We don't have much more time. Freedom is rapidly disappearing here in America. Bill Clinton's terrorist bill, it's not an anti-terrorist bill, it's a terrorist bill. It's to create a federal Gestapo in contradiction to our Constitution, which does not allow the federal government to fight crime. And if you read the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, there's no place that the federal government can fight any crime other than piracy and treason. And, of course, there's an awful lot of treason going on in Washington, D.C. by people who've sworn to uphold our Constitution and are doing everything they can to destroy that Constitution. You've got to understand what the Constitution's all about. How can you back a Constitution when the average American doesn't even understand the essence of our Constitution or from whence our freedoms come? There's so much needs to be done out there, Dave. We have a new set of six videotapes, and we'll make them available to any church that wants to use them. It doesn't talk about political parties. It talks about America's Constitution. Our churches should be teaching people about the foundations of America's freedom, because they were built upon Christianity. And if we don't get back to the foundations of this country, we're going to lose America. Dave, any other questions or comments?
Just had one comment that tomorrow on Radio Liberty, we're going to be talking with Ellen Gunderson Traylor. And some new spin on the things that are happening in the Middle East.
Okay, fine. And, of course, Ellen Gunderson Traylor, one of the most outstanding authors in America. She's written 13 books, and they're all biblically based. And the book you're going to be discussing is?
Jerusalem.
Okay, yeah. Thanks so much, Dave.
Thanks a lot,
bye-bye.
Dan.
Okay, fine. Well, our telephone number, 464-8295 or 1-800-5-TALK at me. But we're just about out of time. Terry, would you like to just sort of sum up in a minute or 2 minutes the message you'd like to leave with our listeners out there across the western part of California?
Well, I have no confidence in the print media, the mainstream print media, nor television to really cover our trial. I would just like to thank you and talk radio in general. That is the way that we got the word out initially about the book that made it a bestseller. Now, slowly but surely, as I travel, I'm finding wherever there's a basis of talk radio that this story is known. It shows talk radio is working. And when Bill Clinton attacked talk radio as hate radio right after the Oklahoma City bombing situation, I think that was actually just a Freudian slip on his behalf, because what that really means is he hates radio, because it is the medium in which people like myself are allowed to communicate directly with the American people, unfiltered, unedited, maybe a 7-second delay or whatever. But beyond that, I'm getting my message out, and it's not just me; others are as well. So I would just like to convince people that they really need to support their talk radio networks.
I appreciate that. Terry, please keep in touch with us, and just let us know how things are progressing. And we're going to start doing a program down in Los Angeles here very, very soon. We'll be reaching the entire Los Angeles basin. So keep in touch, and we'll
That's
get you on
news.
That program, too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. God bless you. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Glenn, if you want to hang on, I'll talk to you after the program. I'm afraid you called too late. We're just about out of time, but if you want to hang on. But right now, I want to tell our listeners that we are listener-supported. We depend upon you to help us. We need to expand this message. We need to get programs like you heard today out all across America, and we can't do it without you. Write to us at Post Office Box 13 in Santa Cruz, 95063. That's Post Office Box 13 in Santa Cruz, 95063. And don't put it off till tomorrow, because tomorrow usually never comes. And if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters for a gift of $20 a month or more, we'll be glad to send you the four best tapes of the month. You can copy those tapes and make it as many copies as you want to and get them out far and wide. Help us to get the message of freedom out across this country. You're welcome, of course, to tape the programs as we do them and circulate those tapes. But you're going to hear information here that you're not going to get from Dan Rather, Tom Brokaw, or certainly from Barbara Walters, because all of them happen to belong to the Council on Foreign Relations, America's Invisible Government. And the reason you haven't heard so much of what's going on here is because going back almost to the turn of the century, a small group of very wealthy people set out to gain control of the media. Now, if you doubt that, you send us a self-addressed stamped envelope, Post Office Box 13 in Santa Cruz, 95063. We'll send you an article from the Congressional Record from 1917. Congressman Calloway talked about how even in 1917 they bought up the editorial policies of 25 of our major newspapers to convince the American people we had to get into World War I, and told them lies, and eventually got the American people to enter a war that we never should have gotten into, and lost hundreds of thousands of American boys for nothing, absolutely nothing. We want to thank those in the past who so generously contributed to Radio Liberty, and to ask for your continued prayers for provision and for protection. And so till tomorrow, this is Dr. Stan, reminding you that freedom is never free. It is lost when good people do nothing. Our plea to you is to become informed, to inform others, to become involved. You can help us to preserve the freedom and to pass on to generations to come the freedom which we inherited from those in the past who made the great sacrifices to preserve freedom here in the United States. Till tomorrow, Dr. Stan, goodbye. God bless you.